Welcome to The How of Business with your host, Henry Lopez, the podcast that helps you start, run, and grow your small business. And now, here is your host.
Welcome to this episode of The How of Business. This is Henry Lopez, and my guest today is Dan DeGolier. Dan, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Henry.
When should you engage a fractional or outsourced financial officer or a CFO? What are the services that a fractional CFO can offer your small business? So Dan is with me today to help answer those questions, to share some insights and how he helps his clients grow their small businesses. So that's what we're going to focus on this call today, is CFO outsourced or fractional CFO services. And what does that mean? And what could be the benefit of that? To get more information about the How of Business, including the show notes page for this episode, and to learn more about my one-on-one and group coaching programs, please visit thehowofbusiness.com. I also encourage you, wherever you're listening to this episode, to please subscribe so you don't miss any new episodes. So Dan DeGolier is a CPA, and he's passionate about helping entrepreneurs upward, is the word that he uses, upward, to help them understand their finances and cash flows and obtain the capital that they need to grow, working alongside leaders of companies to help them reach their highest potential is the reason he founded Ascent CFO Solutions over 11 years ago. With nearly 30 years of experience, he has operated as a CPA with a global accounting firm, full-time CFO with multiple private companies, and now as a fractional CFO and founder with Ascent. His fractional CFO experience includes partnering with companies in many industries, including technology, software as a service, manufacturing, e-commerce, professional services, financial services, construction, and real estate. So really across all industries. When not working with clients, he's riding his mountain bike, skiing, hiking, and spending time with his wife and his three kids. And Dan lives in the Boulder, Colorado area. Dan, welcome to the show.
Thanks very much, Henry. Excited to be here.
How long have you been in Boulder?
I've been in Boulder for 24 years now.
Wow. So you've seen some growth there.
Yeah, I have. I'm nearly a Colorado native. I was in Minnesota, but I grew up in Denver, and I've been, like I said, been in Boulder, raised my kids here.
Wonderful. My longtime business partner, who lives in Colorado Springs, both of his sons went to Boulder, and then one of them stayed there and works for Google there. So I've spent a little bit of time up there.
Great area.
All right. Well, let's dive into it. Let's talk about fractional CFO. I thought we would start with your definition of what do we mean by, typically, from a small business perspective, what do we mean by a fractional or outsourced CFO?
Sure. A fractional CFO is in our case, when we work with clients, they become a member of your team, but they're part-time. Oftentimes we're working with clients for multiple years. So it's not to be confused with interim CFO, which is usually full-time for a limited period of time. This is more generally, each of our CFOs is going to be working with 3 to 6 clients at a time. And so they'll work, you know, a day or two at each for each of their clients over a longer period of time. And as far as what they do everything that you would expect from a full-time CFO: the financial modeling, forecasting, fundraising support. We've got accountants to support them. We have, we can help with system upgrades and process automation and process improvement and things along those lines.
When you said 2 to 3 days, a week, a month, what does that typically look like when you
engage? Anywhere from generally from 2 to 2.5 days a week down to maybe a couple days a month. And that's not necessarily, you know, a set day. It might be, you know, 4 or 5 hours a week on an ongoing basis. And that may vary based upon the company's needs. It's all about, you know, creating a cadence and a relationship with the customer where we are working with them in a way that meets their needs.
Yeah. I find it that most of my clients, when they're ready for a CFO, whether outsourced or they might be thinking about bringing them in house, but certainly before they get there, they probably certainly have a CPA. They may have a bookkeeper. That bookkeeper might be in house, might be out house. They might have even an accountant. Do you typically integrate with that existing virtual or team that they have, or what do you see works best there?
Yeah, it depends. In some cases, we do that. We don't do audits, and we don't do tax. So we're not going to replace your CPA firm.
I see.
The CPAs are still going to be preparing your tax return. We'll just make that very seamless, so mm-hmm. that when it comes time comes for tax around for tax time, that CPA, is going to get exactly what they need, and it should be a very efficient process. If the company has their own bookkeeper or accounting person or people, then we're happy to work with them and provide a layer of sort of management and oversight and mentoring over the existing team. But in a lot of cases, we also have clients where, you know, they may be a software as a service company, and we may be their whole outsourced team. So we might provide multiple people. We might have a CFO and a controller and a senior accountant, and provide that full stack of accounting and finance support.
I see. Going back to the CPA point, you know, I have found, and I'm sure you have as well, that the most of the CPAs that small business owners have are, you know, what I call transactional CPAs, right? They interact with them at year end to get the stuff ready for tax filings, and not necessarily somebody who's providing them advice throughout the year, right? That's typically what I see with CPAs.
Right. I mean, there's probably exceptions to that, but
sure.
In general, yeah, we're all about being that strategic teammate, right? We want to integrate ourselves as a part of the teams, help them with growth strategy, cash flow forecasting, financial modeling, fundraising. For those who are, we work with a lot of companies that are VC backed, or maybe seeking their first round of angel or VC, or maybe they're heading towards a private equity route. But we're going to be, you know, very much part of their team, not just, you know, compliance specialists who are doing tax returns for them.
Right. Right. Okay, let's start to talk about some of the pros and cons, right, as a small business owner. Let's start with the potential challenges of going with an outsourced or fractional CFO. What do I need to look for there that could be a challenge? I can think of a couple of things, but I want to get your thoughts first.
Yeah, I mean, I guess finding somebody who is going to be available and responsive. Mm-hmm. And, you know, meet their commitments, I think, is the most important thing. So I would, you know, check references, for example, and you know, personal referrals are one great way to do it, or, you know, have a method to find out, you know, whether or not this firm or person is reliable and responsive.
Yeah. Yeah. That's such a big one nowadays with accounting firms. You know, I've been told a couple of times that one of the challenges is that less and less young people are going into finance for this type of finance, for CPAs and accounting.
Yep.
And so there's going to continue to be a shortage. And then the people who are there are overwhelmed. And so getting that time, especially during tax season, sometimes is impossible.
It can be difficult for sure. Yeah. For when it comes to tax preparers. Yep.
The other thing that I would be concerned with is, okay, I've got my accountant, it's a trusted person, they've been with me for a while, I know I need that next senior level, I know I need that C level now. I would be worried about, how do I make that work? How do I make that be seamless?
Yeah.
What are your thoughts there as to what works there?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, speaking about when we talk about the pros and cons of a CFO, the fact is, a lot of small companies can't really afford a true CFO, right? I mean,
they
have somebody with some title inflation who has a CFO and title only. But, you know, these days, a really qualified CFO is going to probably have a base salary of at least $300K, maybe $400K, plus bonuses, plus benefits, plus probably some equity, depending upon the type of company it is. So there's a, you know, they're a fairly expensive C-level person. But if you can get that same quality of talent on your team, and they work with you a day a week or 3 days a month, that could be a really compelling way to know that you've to run your business. I mean, you've got that person on your team who has that strategic mindset when it comes to finance and other strategies, but without having to pay, you know, a pretty high six-figure salary.
Huge, yeah. I mean, that's what I see. I see most small businesses, when they get to that level, they've probably filled all of the other leadership positions but CFO, because it's hard to justify that kind of a salary for a smaller business, right?
Yeah. I mean, I've got some pretty strong opinions on what categories can be fractional and are set up ideally for a fractional sort of arrangement versus those that they probably shouldn't be. And I'm happy to share my thoughts on that.
So why is CFO one of those
yeah.
C-level positions that does lend itself to fractional or outsourced?
Yeah, when I look at the core of what a business does, and you look at a company starting out, I mean the two core functions are build something and sell something, right? So again, bring it to technology companies. So your CTO and your founding team is often going to be your technology person, your person who's your product architect who's building out the product, and then there's kind of the chief salesperson. Oftentimes the CEO is going to be the best salesperson, the most experienced salesperson who can tell the story in the business. But then when you think about finance, marketing, HR, those are areas that you can, don't necessarily need to have a full-time marketing person. I've got a part-time marketing person at my firm. HR is something that until you reach a certain amount of scale, you may not need a full-time HR person in finance. So those are areas I think that really lend itself to getting a quality person on your team, but on a part-time basis.
Yeah,
and I think sense. The other advantage of the way that we do things is because it's an hourly model, you can have, the CFO is just doing CFO level work. You're not hiring a full-time person who is not only CFO, but probably controller and payroll manager and maybe AP clerk for a smaller business. So you can have, CFOs focus on strategic work. Controller can focus on the analysis and making sure the books are closed well and financial reporting. And then the senior accountant can be doing the transactions and processing payroll and doing the billings and collections and things like that.
Yeah, it makes sense. It focusing as a business on those core competencies, the things that I'm in the business to do, right? Unless I'm an accounting firm, then that's not my core competency. Like you said, building, selling, operations, those are the things that are most critical that I have in house. Okay, the one of the big advantages that I see, besides the ones you've described already, is that you bring to it as a fractional CFO best practices and experience that are based on working with multiple organizations, right? My people in-house eventually kind of get in a silo and we stop learning from others. I mean, there's opportunities too, but speak to that. That to me is a huge advantage to have that perspective from someone who sees it across multiple organizations.
Yeah. I'll answer that. And I'll maybe also answer it from the, from our employees' perspective as well. So, the CFO, the fractional CFO, if you're hiring someone from our firm, they will have been in multiple companies. They probably haven't been with one company for 30 years. They've had hopefully some diverse industry experience. They've worked across a few different industries. They've got different cultures, different climates, economic climates. They have an experience across multiple areas. And then while they're a fractional CFO, they're continuing to have that experience, right? They're going to be working. They might work with a construction company, and then they might be working with a technology company and maybe a fund. So they're going to work across a fund manager. They might be working across a number of different industries here. So they do have that perspective. They've seen it before. And as a firm of 40 people, we also share a lot of information amongst the Ascent CFO team. So we're you're able to access not just the CFO and controller, et cetera, who's on your engagement, but if there's a question about trying to integrate X software with Y software, or trying to understand best practices around the R&D tax credit, or wanting to get a company valuation, we've got partners, we've got different people with different experiences, and we tap into that with our Slack channel is one method we have. So mm-hmm. we can ask a question, hey, who has experience with integrating these softwares? That person can jump in. We can pull them into the engagement even and have them help with some of that. So that's one advantage from the candidate perspective or from the employee perspective. I've described it before. It's like having your career on hyperdrive,
right?
Because you are working across different industries doing different things. A CFO might be doing a negotiation for a bank financing one day, and the next day they're helping to raise capital for another type of company, and then the next day they might be negotiating a commercial agreement with a vendor or customer.
Yeah. I mean, it's similar to my situation as a coach, where I've been fortunate to be part of different businesses across industries, and then I spent the 90s working for ERP software companies, seeing in across industries. So sometimes it's amazing how that's, oh yeah, I've seen that done this way. So, and a lot of times having that best practice or the way it's been solved in a different industry can be advantageous, because we tend to be, again, siloed and thinking of one way to do it. A fractional CFO brings me that diversity.
Yeah, for sure. There's one other thing I'd just love to jump in and share as well that I think is a little bit unique about our firm, and that is we recently launched a solution called Insights. And Insights is a data visualization tool or dashboarding tool. So you know, you hire us as your CFO to help, you know, understand your business, help forecast your cash, give you some real strategic advice on that. But then being able to also build out for you a robust dashboard that gives you not only your historical financials, but gives you your forecasting in real time. It can pull in information from your CRM. So your sales pipeline data can be in that dashboard. You can pull in stuff from your HR or payroll, so you get a sense on your unit economics when it comes to labor, depending upon the type of company. So whatever so we'll spend the time to really understand what your critical KPIs are and what your performance indicators are. And then we can lay that out in a dashboard, which is a little bit, ancillary to the fractional CFO business, but I think it's just a natural progression of what we've been doing for the last 13 years.
Yeah, no, that's huge. I see that as a big struggle for small business owners, where they've got, they're looking at a P&L and a cash flow report over here and CRM details over there. And it's so important to boil it up to a dashboard of those key KPIs so that you can better manage the business.
And I'm yet to meet a company where cash isn't important, right? Yeah, so really exactly. Understanding if you're venture backed and you're burning cash and you need to know your runway, you need to understand your cash burn. You have to know how decisions you make will affect that. And if you're a growing profitable company, you still have to pay attention to your cash flow, because you can outgrow your cash flow. If you're hiring too quickly, expanding too quickly into new markets, things like that, it's very easy to get ahead of your skis when it comes to what you're spending, even if you are a profitable company.
That's such a challenging thing, that modeling, that financial modeling, especially as I determine, am I ready to bring on someone? Am I ready to expand? Most, and including, myself to an extent, we don't have that experience or that knowledge. And that's another area where a good CFO, fractional in this case, can help me do that. Yes?
Yes, for sure. Yep.
This is Henry Lopez, briefly pausing this episode to invite you to join me for one of my next live online workshops. During these interactive workshops, I cover a specific topic that will help you with starting and growing your small business. Just visit thehowofbusiness.com to learn more and to register. If you need help creating an effective business plan, for example, to start your first small business, then my next business plan workshop may be just what you need. Or perhaps you need help completing your financial projections for your new business. Well, I have a workshop for that too. And if you're already operating your business, then you can probably benefit from learning how to better manage the cash in your business by attending my Cash Flow Management online workshop. These are just a few of the workshops that I currently offer, and I keep these workshops to a small number of participants so that we have the time to answer all of your questions. Whether it's getting started with your first business or growing and exiting your existing small business, I can help you get there with one of my online workshops. To find out more and to register for a live online workshop, please visit thehowofbusiness.com. Take that next step today towards finally realizing your business ownership dreams. I look forward to having you join me for my next workshop. When you think of all the things that you've seen, you mentioned cash. I want to come back to that cash flow, working capital, what you've learned from larger organizations, larger small businesses, and you think about lessons learned there that could apply to smaller businesses. What's a common mistake, or what's a best practice you think that as small business owners we could learn and leverage as it relates to managing our cash?
I think be able to predict it, right? Don't never be surprised. You know, never want to have to sweat a payroll. So understand where your weaknesses could be. If it's your sales funnel, understand what your cash flow cycles look like, understand your receivable cycle and your payable cycle, and have good practices when it comes to managing working capital, but have it be predictable. I mean, there's you know, tools and knowledge out there, and whether it's Excel or whether it's using a dashboarding tool like we have, always, you know, keep the headlights on. Don't just be looking at your historical financials, because that tells you what's happened in the past, but you really need a robust forecast to see what's going on in the future. And companies who, you know, there's plenty of companies who just got surprised by that. And all of a sudden it's like, what do you mean? I'm profitable. Why don't I have, you know, why am I out of cash? It's like, well, right. You didn't manage your receivables well enough, and you let your customers string you out too long.
Yeah, well said. Well said. Thanks for sharing that. I just did a workshop last night on cash flow management for very small businesses. I use a spreadsheet for that, but that's exactly what I see, Dan, is that you have to have visibility so that at least I have some time to hopefully do something about an upcoming cash crunch, right? And plan as opposed to being surprised, because that surprise can be a really bad surprise.
Yeah. And again, know what those levers are in that, whether it's a spreadsheet
exactly.
or something.
Yep.
Know where things could go wrong. It's like, oh yeah, this custom, you know, this huge customer is going to happen. Okay. What if it doesn't? What is your plan B if that client doesn't sign, or it goes another 2 or 3 or 4 months before they do sign? What's your contingency plan?
Brilliant.
What's your access to debt? What's your access to a line of credit? I mean, there's
exactly
lots of different
right.
ways. Lots exactly of different right. ways to skin that cat.
That's right.
But yeah, you gotta know your plan B.
Yeah, it's the number one thing that kills small, you know, micro businesses like mine is running out of cash. You know, like you said, it could be seemingly successful, but if I don't manage my cash, and what happens for most small business owners is we already scraped together everything we have to put in, right? I was already working with not enough working capital. And then when I hit that crunch, I've exhausted all of my resources. Well, now I have no options. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Keep those multiple options available.
What are some of the criteria you look for that would help somebody determine I'm ready to consider a fractional or outsourced CFO? What are some of those metrics?
Yeah, sure. There's a few different ways to look at that, I guess. One is going to be, am I looking to scale to that next level? We're working primarily with growth companies. So, you know, companies usually come to us when they're thinking about raising a round of capital. They have raised some capital, or they've really finally got a product market fit dialed in, and they're starting to scale their business, or just natural organic growth. And now they're seeing abilities to scale into markets and hiring people. If they're a services company, they've reached that point, like, okay, the way the processes have worked before aren't necessarily going to work for the future. So let's level up that sort of discipline.
Mm-hmm. I got to think also part of it is when I'm also at that point as a business where I'm starting to see the need or the idea that I might need to hire a CFO, right?
Right, right. And I think companies, think they need it sooner than they do in a lot of cases. Like, we've seen a trajectory of clients where, you know, they start out working with us, they're pretty early stage, maybe under $1 million in revenue, and they've got, they might have one of our CFOs for a couple days a week and a senior accountant to process the transactions. And then they start to scale and they get bigger and bigger. And then now it's time for them to start hiring some full-time people in-house, right? It's our model kind of breaks after, 2.5 days a week. It's at that point, it probably makes more sense to have a full-time employee. So maybe their first employee might be a solid senior accountant or accounting manager. And then they continue to grow. They probably need an in-house controller and 2 or 3 accountants supporting them. But that CFO, that strategic CFO, who is, is going to be have a base salary of probably at least 300, maybe 400K. That having that person still overseeing that controller for a day and a half, 2 days a week can still be a very economical solution for the long term. So
absolutely.
It really depends. Every company is different, but it sort of depends on, I would say, transaction complexity and transaction volume. Mm-hmm. If you do 10,000 transactions a week, but every single transaction is identical, let's say it's an e-commerce company or something, and it's just a machine, then you probably don't need a CFO. But if you might only be doing 100 transactions a month, but you've got every contract is different. They're larger contracts. They're there's different intricacies to how you have to, how you can recognize the revenue, and you've got to report, you know, maybe you have to get audited financials. So, you know, there's a lot of different factors, but yeah, you know, but so, you know, transaction complexity, transaction volume are two factors there. But, you know, we work with companies up to, you know, $50, $60, $70 million in revenue, and fractional still makes sense for them.
Yeah.
You know, not a whole lot of over $100 million companies are probably going to go fractional. And if they're private equity backed, they're probably going to need a full-time CFO. But, you know, every case is a little bit different.
Yeah. That gives me some guidelines. Thanks for sharing that. And again, you touched on it, the high level, the pricing model is at an hourly basis and then a monthly commitment depending on the need of the client. Is that right?
Yeah, and the monthly minimum commitment is just to make sure we're on the same page as from the standpoint of a resource allocation, right? Because we've got a team of CFOs, and if they need, you know, if the client thinks they need a couple days a week, we want to make sure that we have some kind of a minimum to sort of enforce that we're able to keep getting that work performed for them, and we're not having the person sit on their hands.
Okay. What have we not touched on that you'd like to share that Ascent CFO Solutions, or maybe just summarize what you do offer through Ascent CFO Solutions?
Yeah, I really can't emphasize, you know, cash flow enough and cash flow forecasting enough. And I think that's an area that a CFO is going to be very adept at, to be able to, help a company understand their future cash flows, and have that visibility into it. And that's kind of where our data visualization insights solution comes in a lot of cases, because if you can have every morning that the CEO and other members of the executive team can pop open a dashboard, understand where they're at from a sales perspective, understand where they are from a cash flow perspective, understand their other key performance indicators, you know, that is a pretty valuable tool that, you know, doesn't have to cost a ton of money, and, you know, can just integrates directly with your accounting system and other systems.
That's huge. Hey, quick tactical question for here, Dan, on the forecasting of cash. My rule of thumb has been for, again, small businesses to look forward, you know, 2 to 3 months. Is there a general best practice for that, or does it vary? What are your thoughts there?
You know, a lot of people believe in the 13-week cash flow model, you know, so that's about 3 months. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of a rolling 13 weeks. Yeah. You have a pretty good visibility into, you know, how quickly your clients or customers are tend to pay, and when your invoices are going out. And so that's one method. But that being said, a financial model is probably going out 3 years, and you're going to have less and less certainty the farther out you look, but it's, you know, I like to compare a budget, which is kind of a static annual plan of what your future financials look like, versus a rolling forecast. We're big fans of the rolling forecast. You still want to compare to your budget frequently, but especially in a startup, in a fast growing business, a dynamic rolling forecast budget gives you visibility into the things that have changed. You know, you set up that budget, goes into effect January 1st. Well, by the end of January,
it's outdated.
You close more or less business than you thought you would. You may have had to hire somebody sooner, or maybe you hired this top notch salesperson. They're twice as expensive as you thought. So you know, all of your assumptions now have changed. So I think, you know, having that budget's valuable. But the rolling forecast that gives you, you know, visibility into the future based upon all the actuals and the new assumptions that you've updated over time is even more valuable than the budget, in my opinion. So, plus the 13-week cash flow forecast, and a lot of companies will utilize both, right? Both the three-year rolling forecast model, that's a little higher picture, and then especially a company that's really kind of tight on cash and is really struggling with it, the 13-week cash flow is very valuable.
Love it. Great, great advice. Thanks for those insights. Okay, where do we go to learn more about you and Ascent?
Yeah, the best place to find us is online, ascentcfo.com. That's ASCENTCFO.com. From there, you can learn about our team. You can learn about our services. You can sign up for our newsletter. We're not going to pepper you with too much. We send out about, you know, one to two, it's about two newsletters with actual, hopefully very valuable content a couple times a quarter. And then LinkedIn is the place where we post interesting things as well. And so you can follow Ascent CFO on LinkedIn and or find me there as well. I'm Dan DeGolier.
Excellent. And we'll have links to all of those ways to find Dan and Ascent. I'll have those on the show notes page at thehowabusiness.com.
One last place I'd say, and if you aren't interested in the data visualization and what we're calling insights, there's a page on that on our homepage as well. You can click there. There's a 2-minute video of just a very quick demo to give you a sense for what I'm talking about when it comes to the data visualization. So I'd encourage you to check that out. And we're excited to. I've enjoyed this and happy to get to know you, Henry.
Absolutely. No, thank you. I'm always looking for a book recommendation. Is there a book that comes to mind that you've read recently or in the past that you would recommend?
Boy, are you going to limit me to just one?
Yes, just one. I know. If you're a reader, I get it. I have a stack of books on unread stack on my desk, so I know it's a challenge.
Yeah, I mean, I would say one that I always go back to, if I was to choose one, it would probably be Good to Great by Jim Collins.
Sure.
It's a great entrepreneurial read. If you're looking for process and improvement and ways to run a company, big fan of the EOS system. So the book Traction is the Bible around EOS. I'm going to go one more and then I'm sure you're going to cut me off, but
that's okay.
Blue Ocean Strategy is also a really good book when it comes to, disruption of markets and what makes certain companies very successful.
Yeah, I love all three of those. Thank you for those recommendations. I've read all three of those. Good to Great, I haven't read in a while. When did you last read Good to Great?
Yeah, same. That's a good point. I was just thinking it's one I want to reread. It's probably been 5-6 years since I've read it.
Yeah, it's been longer for me.
It's kind of I'm kind of overdue to pick it up again. So maybe you've just
triggered that.
Gave me a book recommendation to reread.
There you go. All right, let's summarize it. What's one thing you want us to take away as small business owner or aspiring small business owner about leveraging an outsourced or fractional resource like a CFO? What's one thing you want to take away from this conversation?
Yeah, I would say, a fractional CFO is going to give you a lot of discipline when it comes to understanding your business and especially your cash flows and especially your future cash flows. So I think that is the one biggest takeaway is, numbers are very, there's a lot of important parts of business, but numbers and cash flow are pretty critical. And a good fractional CFO is somebody who can really help you with having that visibility and understanding of your business.
It's interesting you keep coming back to cash flow because it's so critical, and I'm glad you do, because it is, again, most small business owners will look at their P&L, which is a snapshot of a prior point in time, a lagging indicator at best.
Yep.
And are blind to what the landmine is that's coming sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. And you brought it up earlier, right? It's working capital. Working capital is what's going to drive that cash flow. And you've gotta have your arms around that and understand your scenarios.
Yep. Tell us again where you want us to go online to learn more.
AscentCFO.com.
Excellent. Dan, thanks for taking the time. Thanks for sharing. Thanks for being with me today on the show.
Absolutely, Henry. It was my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
This is Henry Lopez. Thanks for joining me for this episode of The How of Business. My guest today again is Dan DeGolier. I release new episodes every Monday morning. You can find the show anywhere you listen to podcasts, including The How of Business YouTube channel and at my website, thehowofbusiness.com. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening to The How of Business. For more information about our coaching programs, online courses, show notes pages, links, and other resources, please visit thehowofbusiness.com.